We don't actually know how we did in the prediction. Well, I'm pretty sure we did fucking terrible.
People know exactly what he's going to do. They're going to sit on him, and then they're going to use him for the whole race.
It's brought the world together.
Yeah, this is what people should be fucking focusing on and getting content from, is this kind of,
I think.
Well, it's not like double through shot. Oh, you're strong. Not double through shot.
One of the most weak.
16-year-old high school Cooper Lutkin House or something. Bro, what the hell?
142 for a 16-year-old. Heather and Emily, like,
that was a big battle for third.
That was the battle everyone really wanted to see.
The Noah and Kenny showdown, the little push. Man, I guess Noah does have fans, but watching this stuff, I'm like, dude, this guy. So annoying.
But to be honest with Mike Smith, how many messages do you think Mike Smith got about Donovan winning? And how many messages did I get about Donovan winning? One of the greatest athletic performances ever.
Easily.
No one will ever know except for him how hard that was to do.
Okay.
Like and subscribe.
Coffee club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Coffee Cup Podcast for episode 198. It is the post-USA's episode, and I think we don't actually know how we did in the prediction. Well, I'm pretty sure we did fucking terrible, right?
Spent 4 days watching USA's, I had very few picks that were right.
I just repressed it.
Yeah. This was, it made for amazing viewing spectacle for all the fans out there. I know how much everyone enjoyed it, especially that last, like the Sunday was just so epic. But our picks, not good. A lot of upsets. But we are very excited to go through them all and kind of break them down because, yeah, as we said, just absolutely amazing races, so much craziness. And, I'm really interested to see who won the contest and how our fans did as well. Because, yeah, it made me realize that, like, especially with, like, the college kids, it's like, we're just not keyed into that. We're just in our bubbles and stuff.
I don't know if they all keyed into that either when they did as well as they did, but...
Seriously. But before we get into that, we do have a little bean shout-out. Unfortunately, I forgot to bring them today, but we'll put a lovely picture of them up on screen, and I'll share them with the boys. But it's from Michaela Fick, an ex-Ole Miss friend of Cinta that sent them.
Nice.
Via mail.
Very nice.
It's a beautiful pink flamingo bag, so I think you guys will enjoy it.
Is there any beans left? Or,
I mean, there's at least one-ish. How many do you want?
I normally just chew. I just start my day chewing a couple. So,
well, you only get one.
No, well, I know.
Well, just you can
have one.
One
will be fine.
You can
normally I go more than one, but
yeah. So that's, we should be good. But without further ado, I think we get into the results of the prediction contest. If manager Tom could.
I'd love to know the scoring process explained to me, Tom.
Yeah, so I think in the original notes of last episode, I wrote cross-country scoring, but that doesn't really work because it doesn't account for... Well, it just doesn't work in this kind of competition now. But fortunately,
well, last year we
I
did
wrote
a weird
down...
One, right? Didn't we do like a bonus if you got like three of them
all
right?
All three. I see bonus points on the screen.
Yes, so I just copied the scoring system from last year, which is you get a point if the athlete was in the top three but in the wrong position, and 2 points if that athlete was in the correct podium position. Mm. And then you get an extra point if you get the whole podium, and then 2 bonus points if it's the entire podium in the correct order.
I think I had one of those.
Really?
I had 2 of those.
Well done.
I'm confident.
I had 0.
No, I'm pretty sure you had one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I feel like you had one. All right. What are we starting
yeah,
with?
Yeah, actually, everybody had at least one.
Are we scoring Alicia here?
Yeah, I did score Alicia, though I will say she got a very big bump from her perfect scoring in the women's 5K and women's 10K.
Yeah. All right.
I think it might be more interesting to actually reveal the scores from winner to loser order, like from most to least, because it was closer at the bottom than it was at the top.
I don't know who that's a good sign for.
So in first place, the winner of our contest was none other than Alicia Munson. She had 38 points.
Wait, how did she compare to our fans?
I will say, okay, we can announce the fan pick who I think this fan actually, they won by 1 point. I forgot to write down who was second place, but for the fans also because of the timing of the contest, I excluded 10K because the episode came out the same night as the 10K. I want to give everyone a chance to participate, was Leviathan D3 with 25 points. So keep that number in mind as a benchmark. Most of the scores were in the 15 to 18 range.
So he scored 25 without the 10K. Or was that perfect score in the 10K?
Yeah. Without the, no 10K for him.
So what was Alicia without the 10K?
Alicia without the 10K was 22.
Oh, so she suited really well. But then she got the...
Or without the 10K and 5K.
Oh, wow.
So she had a 22.
That sounds really good.
So she still did really good. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, she did. Was not as good as second place.
Da-da-da.
If you took out her person scores, which was my pick to win this before this, the prediction hunt this, which who is George Beamish, who had 27 points, which is a lot, led by his perfect scoring on the women's 1500.
Nice.
Thanks, guys.
George, who is your other perfect pick?
I not get the men's 10?
Okay, I might have to look back on the tape.
I would not have put Grant behind Graham. So I assume I must have had the 10, right? But I thought most of us picked that for the...
I put Woody in there.
I put Woody. Sorry, Tom. You're right.
You put Woody.
Oh, okay, I only had one.
That was the one. Yeah, so you were 2 points away from having a perfect score there.
But I think I think we did the same women's 1500 is why I think you had one.
Did we?
Yes, and Alicia did as well.
Mm.
Ollie did not. Ollie had Johnson, Hiltz, and then McLean for the women's 15.
True. All right. Undefeated in the prediction contest.
Okay. So in third place, and it came down to 1 point. Ooh. This person scored one more point than the other person.
Yes.
I feel like this is bigger than first place.
Can you tell us the points?
Yeah. It was 21 to 20.
Oh, that's not even that bad.
Actually, that's a really fair showing. With pretty low points in the women's 10K. The men's 10K was scored pretty solidly. But in third place was Morgan McDonald.
Take that.
Shit, bro.
And fourth place was Oliver Hoare.
Damn.
Where did we really suffer?
The women's steeplechase.
Yeah.
The women's steeple was crazy.
I feel like everyone would have suffered in that one.
Also the men's steeplechase too, because I think
the two guys
Wilkinson and Updike and Corrigan were all
out of it.
They were popular picks.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I honestly thought that we all would have done, like, I don't have any context to put that against, but I would have thought that we would have done worse. Just like when I was watching it, I was like, wow, I didn't expect that to happen. Like the amount of times that I was thinking that during it and now hearing these scores, I'm like, actually, we did not that bad.
I feel like we did, I'm thinking, eight, like, we all put Donovan in, obviously, with Ollie's coaching. So I think there were some, we picked some upsets that were good. How are we going to break this down?
I think we have to just go kind of through, I guess it's chronological how we have it down on the sheet. So let's start off with the 10K, night number one. I do have to say how it's crazy how different is this experience of USA's across 4 days compared to the Olympic trials. It's so much like the Olympic trials is amazing because it's the Olympic trials, but the 4 days of action is just bang, bang, bang. And
it's way better.
Yeah. It just,
honestly,
it's like leads to so much. Everything is high stakes pretty much. And it's so exciting every day. And the first day was an instant classic, as there's big upsets in the women's 10K. The men's 10K, as we know, was kind of as we predicted. But I didn't even, so I still have not seen a video of this race because I wasn't watching it.
Women's 10?
At the time.
There's no video. I don't think there's any video. There's probably videos.
I don't think
now,
NBC put it up because I was looking for it.
No, they haven't.
So I haven't seen a video of the finish. So I still have to see that. But
it was a pretty sweet.
Oh my God.
Four-way. There were four women until 100 to go, I want to say. And who was leading?
Wainey?
I don't know who went to the front. I don't know if it was Wainey. I think Taylor was leading for a decent bit of the last few laps, mile maybe. But Emily Enfield just was glued to that front group for so long. I think she was just like sitting in fourth place in that pack. And I think she's universally pretty well liked as a runner and very easy to support. As that was her last 50. I mean, she outkicked Elise Cranny. What'd they close in? Can't tell up there, but it was big last 100 from her at least. And yeah, I mean, I guess that meant there was no room for Wainey on the team, which was probably a pretty big upset. I think we all picked her.
Yeah, I mean, Wainey's been so good these last couple of years, but track, I think what this showed us is that like track championship racing is something completely different, and it's always a unique thing. It's different to time trials, even different to like, I mean, like even the Grand Slam races, championship, they're like championship style racing, but even those races were so different to the racing that we saw at this championships when it's just like US only. Like the dynamic is so different. Everyone's fighting for that top three and for the win. But I just have to say, yeah, seeing Emily Enfield come out on top, I was like, that's fucking awesome. That's just so cool to see. She's after
35.
Seeing her journey. Was she a medalist in 2015, I believe, in the 10K?
10 full years ago.
Getting the bronze. And now, is she coached by Milt?
Yeah, she's gone back to Milt.
Yeah, so I mean,
like, how did she go? Was Milt the coach at Georgetown?
Mm-hmm.
Mm,
yeah.
That's a crazy full circle moment right there.
So I watched one of her interviews and it was pretty cool to see hear her story, just how she's operating now, just like, more just kind of doing her own thing, I guess, you know, taking a day off. Kind of like that typical, you see this happen a bit where it's like you go back to the coach, kind of maybe make things a little more just back to basics. Like she takes a day off. She does a little bit of double threshold, but just like probably compared to the training that she's done a lot of her career, or that she's tried to do a lot of her career, being a part of like Bauman and stuff, it's probably way more like easy training, you would imagine.
Does she qualify for Worlds? Does she have the ranking?
I think she does. I think she ran really well at the 10.
Yeah.
And I think Elise was
the standard.
Elise didn't have the standard either, but I think they were like, Elise, I think, was pretty on it early to make it fast enough to get points. I think that was what was
so
the consensus.
Those top three would go?
I think that's what I was hearing.
That's what it seems like.
Okay. Or is it none of them have the standard, so I was wondering how the ranking goes into play considering that.
Yeah, the standard is crazy.
They said maybe Taylor will need some scratches.
Mm.
But the top two, I think, were good.
Yeah.
Maybe someone left check there.
No, I feel like we would have heard more if like it was more. It seemed more that Wainey was, there was a lot of like Wainey's missing out is kind of what I saw online. So it's like, yeah. It seems like the top three will have at least a good shot of going. So, and I'm really, really happy to see Elise Cranny back crushing it at another USA's. I mean, last week when we predicted it, I think we kind of left a lot of room for her to, like, I don't think we all picked her to like absolutely crush it as she has in past years, but I think we left a lot of room for her to, I don't know, surprise us is the right word, but to show up, because we know how good she is at USA's. And once again, she did that. So, yeah. Okay, we're getting some Cheeky Chavez.
It
long
says
tweet.
Here, Rowe gets into the quota if you scratch Parker Valby, who's injured, Wainey Kalani, and Chris Weiser from the quota ahead of her.
So they should all be in. Which
yeah.
Is
well, no,
cool.
But if Wainey is in front of her in the
no, but I don't think Wainey makes that decision. I think USAT is.
Oh, okay. I was wondering if she's ahead in the ranking.
Nah.
No. Okay.
I think she just gets scratched by USATF.
Interesting.
I assume. Yep. Men's was a lot simpler though, and it turns out the fittest guys made that pretty easy, honestly, for them.
Yeah, especially when you have Grant doing his classic
sub 4 mile
yeah.
at the end of a distance race.
Yeah, that move was pretty hard to go with, I think.
I loved his interview where they asked him, like, does he aim for splits or something? And he's like, no, I've just done this so many times. Like, I know what hard feels like, and I know roughly what I can run from, like, a mile out or 1,200 out and still have a little something left, which was not enough to outkick Nico, but like he's got like 357 to 359 just on lock at the end of USAs, it seems like. He even did a Grand Slam, jogged it in against those guys. He's done it so often that, I mean, there was quite a group until Grant started going with a mile to go, and yeah, you got to be really fit to go with that, it turns out.
And these guys weren't running very quick for like for how fast they are. Like most of the race, they were running pretty comfortably, like around kind of like a 30-minute 10K pace or so.
Definitely 5 miles of threshold.
Yeah.
So. Plus a mile hard. Honestly, pretty good workout for the 5K.
Yeah. But I mean, I could like when Grant went and then Nico and Graham were just right on him, you knew it was kind of like, you know, that they were really happy that he was the one making the move and putting, kind of exposing himself in a way, I guess. I mean, still, yeah, like it's a good argument that it's, there's a good argument that it is the best way for him to win as well. But these guys are obviously really happy to sit on him. And Grant's second to last lap was a bit slower than maybe his third and fourth to last lap, which I think is like a bit of a telling sign. I mean, he makes those laps so fast, so it is hard to keep ratcheting it down. But I think it was a bit of a telling sign that, you know, like it was going to be a battle. He wasn't just going to maybe easily run away with it. But yeah. I was really surprised that Nico went as early as he did on the last lap.
It was earlier than
300
I thought.
To go. I was like, because we've seen how amazing his last 100 was.
It didn't really make any sense for him to go this early, apart from just
he must have just felt good.
Yeah, apart from just showing that he was really confident. Like, I think he would have won either way. And I think honestly, this was slightly harder to do.
If you watch the replay, it definitely makes Grant slow down.
Like getting in front of him, you mean?
Yeah,
a little bit.
So I think
it does help if you get that step.
It puts Grant a little bit out of whack, but then he kind of gets back into it now. Look, see.
Did you guys pick Nico to win?
Yeah.
I think Ollie did.
I thought I picked Nico to win.
Yeah, I did. I'm pretty
sure.
Like,
look at Grant fucking.
He came back on him.
Yeah. I think changing that change in stride, if you get in front of someone, you can kind of slow him down. It really fucks him up. And Nico's just so good. Like, you can't really get around him.
Seriously, normally the 10K at Worlds, historically, they've been running really fast the last few years.
Yeah, I think like it'll be much more of a strange battle compared to that race.
Young Fisher Blanks is what I picked.
You had it perfect? Well done.
What a shocker.
Let's go, Ollie.
I just really wanted Woody to make the team. That was really where my pick was coming from. A lot of my picks were not necessarily that I thought he was going to make the team. Like, did I really think Woody was going to beat Graham?
Here we go. Here's unlikely. The excuses.
Why are you making excuses?
Here's the excuses.
Want.
Come on, man.
You won.
Double down. I believe
excuses.
Fully in all of my picks.
All right, good. Well, I'm proud. There were things like sometimes you pick just out of, you know, from your heart, not your head. Tell me you didn't do that at
I
least
only
once.
Pick with
no,
my
we
heart.
Did do that.
I
but
only
like,
pick with my
we're
heart.
Not making excuses about it. What do you mean? That's not an excuse. I'm just saying that's what happened.
I exclusively pick with my heart.
Like if there was truly something on, like if there was, I don't know.
Well, you don't think this was high enough stakes? Next time we'll make like $1,000 prize or something.
No, next we'll time if we both beat Jordy, Jordy has to shave his head.
That hey, is what? Good stakes.
That's great stakes.
Sounds good.
That way you think with your head, not with your heart for that
That's
one.
That's ridiculous. Hey, you're undefeated, so.
We got to stop.
I don't know what you get if you win, but.
Yeah, that seems a little harsh.
You can think on that.
Okay.
You can think on that.
Morgan, I have to buy you coffee for a year.
Ollie still has to trade in his Tesla for a Prius.
That'd be pretty big
when
as well.
That was
a contest. I don't know what it was for, but that was a bet that was ongoing at one point. And I don't know what the outcome was, but you still have a Tesla, so.
Yeah. I can't remember what it was.
Not by choice. I just can't afford to get another car.
Yeah. But, and then, yeah, some great racing behind the guys in this one. But, I mean, those top three, the reality is, like, as George said, it's like the strong guys, you know, they just show that how good they are. And the reality is that they're
1240 guys.
1240 guys, probably 2630 guys. Like, they're the best three American 10K runners of all time. Maybe you throw in, like, Galen Rupp or something. I don't know. But it's like, they're right up there and they're young. It's like, every time I hear them say Nico's age, I'm like, he's still 22. Like, Jesus.
No. He turned 23 a couple of days ago.
He did?
He did.
Because when they won, they were like,
it was literally like last
they're
week.
They're like 22 years of age. I'm like, he is 22 still.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And he is this good. Unreal.
Mm.
So, awesome race by the guys getting it done, which, as we'll see as we go through the preview, a bit harder to actually do. I mean, we always kind of talk about this. The 10K, as you go up in distance, the races get more predictable in terms of...
Mm.
you know, less upsets generally. Like the
more,
guys,
more fitness, less tactics.
Yes,
probably right.
More boring too, right, George?
Exactly. George's favorite event is the 100. So that was the 10K. The
Friday was a bit of a
like heats and stuff.
It was a write off day.
But honestly, like some good of the semis and stuff. The semis were exciting.
I do love. I often say that 1500 heats are like some of my favorite races to watch. Like rounds of the 1500 are so fun to watch. Just like what people are prepared to do to try and get those last spots.
And semis of the 800 are pretty exciting because
similar to semis of the 8.
Because the heats to semis of the 800, they didn't really kick out that many. But then to cut it down for the finals is like big.
Did you see was it the 110 hurdles? That
they didn't pick anyone?
Not a single person. Yeah. Like every single person got through.
I saw that.
That is silly.
That's how it goes sometimes. But I guess we got to talk about the 1500 meters now.
Yeah, Saturday.
Which was a traumatic experience.
We'll start with the women first.
Yeah, women first, which was...
much more predictable.
It was a slow race, but it still ended up...
Alicia was kind of right.
Predictable.
What did they end up running?
4:00 something.
I said slow. I said 4:06 to 4:08 as being slow.
Yeah, Alicia was spot on with this.
She said even a slow race, they're going to run 4:02 to 4:03. And she was honestly right. Yeah.
My 3:58 prediction went out the window pretty quick as I realized like who's going to
make it 3:58.
The one lady that can do that is currently pregnant. So, I mean, this is I said the top four, very predictable picks.
Yeah, they were, honestly.
Honestly, shout out to Danny Jones getting fifth. That's pretty unreal.
That's awesome.
Really good from her first year out at a very nice track club.
Yeah.
I forget that that's who she's coached by now.
Yeah.
She coached
for the last 6 months, year.
Is she coached by Ronnie or Nick Willis?
Not Nick.
Because Nick has been saying stuff on social media that maybe seemed like he was coaching her.
No, he didn't. He said Ronnie and Sierra. They're coaching it.
Okay. I saw other things that maybe were linking to them, and I think he was just saying it.
He likes to
put his finger in
the pie. He likes to say a lot
pie,
of things. That's
know?
Why I'm he trying does. To like figure out what actually Nicola said. But great race from Danny. Heather and Emily.
That was a big battle for third.
That was the battle everyone really wanted to see. Yeah.
That's probably where the race was.
I was like, holy crap, watching this go down. Because I think like Emily looked really strong, and then Heather went around her. But Emily, like she often has that really fast finish, and then she just had that extra gear. So
I mean, it was bunched up too, and I mean
great move by Sinclair to go out and make it strong, but Nikki is just so hard to shake.
They just don't lose races so like this.
Was they're, it eight, they're tucked in and relaxed
eight in a row eight US titles in a
I
row or something?
six
indoor outdoors six.
Six. Oh, maybe it was eight including I forgot about that. Two road titles in between those or something.
I think they're saying for six track, yeah.
It was six on the track.
Oh!
It was a bummer Helen Schlachtenhafen went down.
That looked like a really hard fall.
It looked like a hurt.
There was a toss-up before.
Dude, Free is the worst track to fall on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's run like 3:58 this year or something. Like, she's actually been running really good. So, that's kind of a bummer to see.
That is a bummer.
I mean, Sinclair and Nikki, just perfect positioning. Right at the front.
But
closing 58.0 or something.
Yeah, it's pretty...
Dude, Sinclair... Nikki
just has freaking wheels.
Right there.
Wow.
Yeah, the battle between Emily and Heather, wow, that was...
Emily just saved that extra gear. Yeah,
it did end up being pretty convincing.
When you're on the shoulder, I feel like it's like...
Yeah.
When you get around, you can kind of go again.
Yeah.
Yeah, clear top three.
In the end... I can't remember what our predictions, like, I guess, like, this was, like, the most...
This and the men's 10K were...
Yeah.
With the...
I think...
The only ones that really ended up that three favorites...
Yeah.
...win as the three.
Sinclair, yeah, I had Sinclair, Nikki, and then Heather, and Heather got fourth.
Yeah. So, from here on out is where chaos reigns supreme.
Yeah.
And the... The next event on the track was the men's 1500. And my personal experience watching this, like as soon as I saw Yared go to the front, I had like a feeling kind of just like inside where I was like,
okay, let's go back slightly.
I was like, fuck.
Did you watch 1500 rounds?
I didn't watch the rounds.
He didn't look good in the rounds, in my opinion.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not what I was thinking.
He looked, I don't know, like tense? When Cole, okay, this is my visual opinion. So obviously, you know, chime in when you guys want with your opinions. But so you had Hobbs kind of take it out, you know, clearly get through, and then Cole did the exact same thing. Cole ran 3:32. Like, look, Cole actually looked really relaxed. 23:32. Yard.
It was, seemed like through, it seemed like a measuring contest in the
Honestly, the it seemed like who can like make the heats more like, you know, considerably quick and also relaxed. When Yard went out and he was 200 to go, I know Yard grits, but like at 3:32, he just didn't. He just looked like he was putting in too much energy. He looked a
really
bit, yeah. In my opinion, I think he looked a bit tired and a bit like strained a little bit for a 3:32 race. Like, I don't know, that maybe I'm overthinking things and I'm making excuses for him, but he just didn't look as
it's
good.
Easy
as
to say, it's easy to say that now, having that, seen the results.
But I
which,
did,
which we can say half of what we're going to talk about is probably like based on the results as opposed to.
But do you like know what I'm saying?
I do, 100%. I thought he looked like he strained more than
Cole.
Jonah looked amazing. Yeah. Ethan came by Hobbs in the heats, which doesn't necessarily mean anything, but shit, he looked good. Yeah. Hobbs looked good. Cole
looks good.
Eric Holt, big 3:32.
Eric Holt also looked kind of good when he finished. He didn't look like he was.
Yeah, didn't he? He ran a PB in the heats.
3:32.95. Yeah,
that's awesome. But after a tough year.
Yeah.
Good for Holt to bolt.
That I think.
You noticed that
took
as well.
A lot out of him.
For me, Yard looked like he was, I guess.
Whereas, like, it always talks about rounds. Like, it's not about running 1 1500.
Yeah. Like,
it's about running two or three.
Yeah. Three and
being as fresh as you can be.
Yeah.
As ready to go.
And I want to say the person who did that, like, the best was maybe Jonah. Like, in the heats, he was, like, I don't know if just made it through comfortably, didn't try and, like, fight for a position. Happy to come second or third in his heat, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Like, still not that many people were talking about him, I swear, in between the heats and final.
But to be honest, there was no, like, he had won Rabat Diamond League, and then other than that, this was in his next 1500.
It was. Apparently, he had some hamstring.
Yeah, he said he had a sore hamstring, even like
and that
on
was
the
why,
day of the race.
That was like why he picked the 15 over the 8, because he thought his hamstring would hold up better.
Really? But he ran 1:43 during the season as well.
Yeah, he did.
So,
yeah. So
he was going to be dangerous, and he was. You're right, overlooked, and
going back to senior hit the front.
Yeah, I was.
Which
just,
we all knew like that was going to happen, right?
But I just thought he would maybe wait until like two laps to go or something. If you're going to make a big move against this field, because the reality is, it's not like Yared's shape is off. It's more that just everyone else is so good, and they're not afraid at all. If you're willing to pace them at 3:30 pace for an entire 1500. Like, my thought was that as soon as everyone saw Yared hit the front, everyone was happy.
Well, this is the one.
Everyone is like, dream come true. Like,
yeah, this
I'm
just
chilling.
Makes I don't have to think.
One of the things
it's
that
so
I was discussing with the boys when we, after the day off, well, the afternoon after the race when we had a workout was, everyone knew for months leading into this championships that Yared was probably going to take it at some point, right? For not from a lap to go, probably from a K out or even from the start of the gun. So everybody was prepared for that months and months and months. If you look at Cole Hocker, people don't really know what he's going to do. Like, people know maybe he's not going to lead the whole race, but he's kind of unpredictable.
Especially, like, I mean, we'll talk about the 5K later.
Yeah.
Like, the
way he's a very unpredictable runner. And like, the thing is, you can't gauge a race off Cole Hocker, the Olympic champ, but you can gauge a race off Yara because you know exactly what he's going to do. And I think, unfortunately, even though that might have been the best way for Yara to make the team, people know exactly what he's going to do. They're going to sit on him and then they're going to use him for the whole race. And
that's what we said last year was, all right, this guarantees him a spot on the team.
Yeah.
Even though it makes it easy for Cole to come by and win.
Yeah.
But it's all good because
he's made the team.
He makes the team.
Yeah.
It's easy to say this year that it's not the right way to run it based on what happened. If he came second or third, we'd still be saying, oh, this is a good way for him to make the team. But you're right, it's becoming
too predictable.
But also you compare this field to last year's field.
Oh, and I don't think that
like Yared thought like respected how maybe how good everyone else was and or respected how hard it is to break everyone from the front because like if he was gonna break everyone, he would have had to be running 2 seconds quicker. And to do that solo from the front is in the championship.
Not many people have ever done that.
Near impossible, you know, because even you saw like the interviews after the heats and stuff. Ethan Strand was already talking about how he's like, I think I can run like 3:28, 3:29 right now. Like I'm
he's not wrong.
Yeah.
He said that to make the team, you have to run 3:29.
Like they all knew that.
Yeah.
They all knew that that's what they were signing up for and they were going to go try it. And then, I mean, Ethan and like when you saw them going as wide as they were going in a 3:30 race, it's like, makes okay, it look these tactical. Guys, it's like, these guys are like...
Yeah, Ethan's on the outside of lane two from the replay.
Like, these guys are like freaking good right now. They're feeling good if they feel like that's...
I think Yara, or like right here, looks like it's starting to hurt.
Starting to hurt. But his shoulders are
200
up.
To go.
Well, probably when you can just feel that amount of pressure behind you, it's like, holy crap, like, I gotta...
The one thing is, do you
here.
Think potentially if Yara waited a lap, do you reckon it would have helped him a little bit?
Yeah,
definitely. Just to put people out.
And
of
I don't think it would have actually made any difference to, yeah, like
this is my thing. Is like it's. I think this is really similar to.
She's a very clear top three.
To Jakob coming fourth at the Olympics last year. Mm.
I know, but Yard was in that race. Like, shouldn't they have looked at that race and said, no, "All right, let's fucking."
But the thing is, it's not Yard.
Let's
not
do that.
Front. It's not Yard at the front.
No, no. But he's saying like, don't copy Jakob's tactics.
Yeah, I know, but I think what
they, like
you said
they know
before,
it doesn't work for Jakob, and he's the best front runner maybe yeah. of all time.
I yeah. think what you said before, George, is what has actually happened, and it's not Yared being disrespectful. It's just that I don't think Yared and the coaches respected this field as much as they should have, or like saw this field as a threat as much as they should have. I think they just thought, let's do the same thing. They're not going to be able to run with Yared. Let's just do the same thing. Whereas,
it's true
like,
that Yared was very confident, but I don't think that is a bad thing either.
No. But I think more being aware of how good this field is, I think that was maybe overlooked. I think Jonah was overlooked. But like, again, who would have predicted? He almost ran 3:29.
But the thing like, is like, this is like, there's an interesting like dichotomy right now where like these results are really surprising, but at the same time, they make sense. Like if you watch the race,
yeah,
you know, it's like a weird, like, it makes sense actually if... with how things played out, even though they're so surprising.
Well, the yeah. thing is, if there was another, if I don't know who you could put in this race, but if you put somebody else that just did exactly what Yara did and everyone lined up, it'd be perfect for Yara, because Yara would have been second or third.
That's the difference.
True.
And the difference is when you have momentum passing someone, I think Yara would have got a sniff. But it when you're out there with a huge target.
Do we think Pre threw him off a little bit?
Yeah, because he destroyed those
It was just so dominant.
Yeah. He probably, like, the pacemaking there was so good. It's like...
He also hurt
I think those first two laps, that's is underrated.
Big difference.
Like, it's underrated how much that helps even someone that's as good at front running as Yared.
Yeah.
And even Jakob, it helps.
Exact same with Jakob. Like, he can win from the front.
Yeah.
Most but even, races where he has pacemaking through.
Even that race where it was a 3:45 race, like, Yared really hurt the last... He told me the last 300 meters, he, like, was struggling just to keep it going.
Yeah.
Like, I think that should have been an indication where they said, okay, front running at USA's might be... a bit dangerous. Can we think about another way? Because these athletes are ready for that. Yeah.
You could look at a lot of things like that.
But again, like you said, because of these results, we're having these conversations. So
yeah. And he had a big season of 800s, speed based, as opposed to last year. Was it last year? Ran 13:02 in the 5K? Was that last year?
But I think, yeah.
Yeah, it was.
But I think he'd run the same 5K right now.
I think honestly, like...
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying... I'm just putting another topic out there.
You know what
yeah.
might be crazy from me? This could be a complete, just ridiculous take. I reckon 3 rounds might have helped Yard.
Yard's normally very good at 3 rounds.
I think 3 rounds might have helped. Like, because the Olympic trials are 3 rounds, right?
Yeah.
So like, and for example, Jonah, extremely talented. Maybe 3 rounds could have hurt him if he's a 143 guy, low mileage kind of guy.
You Ethan see, Strand as well. To the marathon,
he said the longest run he's ever done is 12 miles.
It's like, bro, you got time.
I do think 2 rounds helped Ethan, but I think how good he looked.
Yeah, he probably would have been fine.
He also does come from a strength.
I think he would have been fine.
But looking at Cole, Yared and Hobbs, I think they would have done well with 3 rounds.
Yeah.
Potentially, but I mean, it's still
Hobbs.
Again, it's so hard to make that team, man. Holy shit!
For a 143 well. Guy, his last 100 is actually not a strength of his, which is interesting for a guy that has leg speed like he has.
Yeah, well, we talked about a lot of times how the kick often comes down not to your speed and more your strength.
You reckon it's more strength than speed for the kick.
Well, I think Hobbs just
in fast races, you know,
they're definitely in that kind of race.
But Hobbs does double threshold.
He's strong. I mean, he's strong, but these guys are all so strong.
Yeah, but does
double threshold?
Cole Hocker doesn't do double threshold.
No, but that doesn't.
He has one of the
no,
best
but he bikes. Time.
It's not
he
like
he bikes and he does sauna and he does.
So he does all this the extra 1%
and
stuff.
He swims. I think.
Well, it's not like double threshold. Oh, you're strong. Not double
I
threshold.
I mean, one of the most pivotal double threshold people gets beat in the last 100 in most championship races.
What does Jonah Koch do? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah. Strength is like Cole can run 7:23 and 12:50 something. Like, that's strength.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But what I'm saying is double threshold maybe isn't the answer for the last 100. I'm thinking. Just thinking of all the athletes.
Oh, for Hobbs.
No, just in general, like, I'm not critiquing Hobbs' training because a lot of people do double threshold, but a lot of the guys that win the championship races in that last 100, they're fucking destroying people, are the people that don't do double threshold. They do strength, but they don't do double threshold.
Well, it's a very small sample size of people. Yeah. There's about three people that are winning
the championships. I think you can be strong either way.
Well, the top three at the Olympics don't do double threshold. Well, I guess Yared probably needs to do less double threshold then. When he does zero.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think double threshold is not I mean, yeah, you can get strong in many different ways.
Yeah.
It's one way. But
I'm just thinking in Hobbs' perspective, because Hobbs does a lot of double threshold, no?
I don't know if he does,
but I think like what's more interesting probably is the fact that he said, like, quote was like, I don't know what else I could do this year. Because I think that is one thing about Hobbs. I think he is insanely consistent. Like,
he's ticking all the boxes.
I don't think he has days where things don't line up very well.
Bree wasn't good for him.
No, but in terms of preparation.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only thing that I kind of felt is like for some of these guys is with the season being later, I felt like considering how late it is in the year, I felt like we haven't seen some of these guys race like as much as you would think considering it's
What do you mean?
August.
Who?
Like Hobbs. How many outdoor races did he do?
Grand Slam.
How many times?
Once.
Like, and it's August. Think about in like a normal year, like the Olympics was right now, like
That's true, but I think I think like Yared was the opposite. Like I just saw someone put up how many races he did before the trials last year and how many he did this year because of Grand Slam mostly.
People are saying Grand Slam.
And it was like more than double this year.
Yeah.
I was just more saying that like I found it interesting that like I felt like I hadn't seen these athletes race as much.
Jonah hasn't raced that much.
Like, so it was like I felt like there was more uncertainty.
Ethan definitely, though, NCAAs.
Well, okay, speaking of Ethan Strand and Gary Martin coming from the NCAA system and then racing at nationals in fucking August.
Dude, strength-based programs.
That's kind of crazy.
Nathan Green
as well.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, they're so good. These guys were running 3:48 in, like, January.
Yeah.
Colin Yard raced a lot. Grand Slam, a lot of racing. And, you know, a lot
too less than it was going
to
be.
A lot of racing and not a lot of...
not a lot to show for
not
it.
Not a lot of benefit from it, yeah, unfortunately. So
no, I mean, I think racing is good.
Like, I meant financially, Morgan.
Oh. Yeah, class action lawsuit incoming.
Well, they missed the deadline, so...
Yeah.
These fellas, unfortunately, are not getting paid.
Yeah. I think, for college kids, like, it's... I think the momentum that they often bring to these championships is... Really crazy. I guess maybe Mario talked about it, it's momentum, man.
Yeah. Mario talked about his momentum with Ole Miss. Like, he was second NCAAs, same as Ethan, and then went into Worlds and got fourth.
One Spanish chance.
Quite later.
Yeah.
In the year.
Do we think there's a scenario where Yared and Hobbs could have made the team against these three?
Yes.
I think those top five, George, you could mix them around a lot in different situations. However,
you don't think those three were just that much better on the day? No matter. What if they ran three... If they ran 3:40 instead of 3:30, who do you think made the team?
Well,
I think
Ethan
Strand definitely makes the team.
When you bring in like those types of tactics, then you are at some point, it's just like
bringing in way more people.
Like, you know, with like positioning and stuff becomes way more significant.
I think that's just a too ridiculous hypothetical. And I reckon Jonah, I think maybe Cole somewhat, but those top two I think could have won.
I do agree with you that like if Hobbs isn't making it in this type of race, maybe he doesn't necessarily have a better chance in a slower race. Like it's going to be hard to beat those guys.
Yeah.
But I think Yared's got a really good kick. That's the thing.
Like everybody's got a chance in a slower race.
Yared does have a really good kick.
So I think like him leading the whole time is probably what ended up like being the energy difference.
It's his legs. It's his long legs and getting tripped up. And I know I know Ritz and Yared both don't particularly like running near people or what about behind people? I don't know, but
I don't think that's a good enough reason.
No, I agree.
I think, never want to run in a pack.
I think like speaking to a few other people messaged me and saying like, oh man, that race was crazy. What do you think like he should have done? And it's like, well, honestly, like Yared needs to stop being a one trick pony and start racing a bit more like Grand Slam because he didn't lead all the Grand Slam stuff. He was kind of around and then he just kind of made a move. Yeah, but it's hard with this field.
No, like, I think this is like his specific like USA's or like a heats at Worlds yeah. tactic where it's like, this is like where I feel most comfortable.
Yeah.
I think I saw some stuff about how like his second lap could have been a bit quicker. I mean, it's like easy to like look at like nitpick yeah, yeah, at that point.
After the race, like if yeah. he got third, he'd have been
just
because like,
oh, he slowed down a bit on the second lap. Yeah. But it's like, I mean, he obviously was running like pretty much as fast
I want to know.
Could.
I've only spoke to him a little bit, like very briefly, but I want to know how he actually felt because that would be interesting because sometimes you just have a bad day. Sometimes you wake up and you're like, oh, I don't feel great.
Yeah, know? But like, I mean, he still ran 3:31 from the front.
I think he kind of said that he's like thought his legs would have a little more in the last 100.
Yeah.
And they just weren't there.
What time did he run at US trials last year?
I think 330. He was 3:30 flat. Just like,
so
point,
like a second
like
quicker.
High.
Yeah.
And Cole was 3:30.
And that was after two rounds as well.
Yeah.
Maybe not as intense as the 3:32 heat, but. All right. He ran 3:31 then 3:27 at the Olympics.
Yeah.
You know?
I think like the rounds, I think there's some people who are better and some people worse, but then I think for a lot of people it's just like,
but he didn't
lead
a step at the Olympics.
No, he didn't. He led his
semi.
Yeah.
His semi was impressive, but then yeah. like when it got to the final, Jakob just took it and everyone just went, right, hang on, don't think.
Yeah, I mean it just shows you like yeah. how nice it is to have someone else leading the entire thing. You know, how much of a difference pacing actually does make in the end. And yeah, it does.
It's a crazy thing to me, though, Morgs and George, that a lot of top US men's 1500 meter people in the past would have been smoked in this race.
Well, these, time. I mean, we'll probably say this for like almost every race. It's the best field ever.
Yeah, it's insane.
like literally.
Like Vinny, Gary Martin, like those guys that are just like 6th, 7th, 8th, Nathan Green, like those guys are fucking world class athletes and they're at the mm-hmm. back, you know?
They really are. So,
I don't. Yeah, that was a freaking sweet race.
Yeah,
and
I mean, you have the Olympic check coming third. So.
Yeah, Jared could still go to Tokyo.
Yeah, dude.
So that's like,
what do you reckon the odds?
I think
of
that's
that
why
are?
He's
honestly
feeling,
they're better than a lot of other people. Like true. Like Hobbs is probably going to do the same thing. Why would Hobbs not try and do the same thing as Jared?
And they're better in other years because there's like you could almost guarantee that Diamond League final being
weaker.
I'm not going to say weak by yeah. no means, but
people
it's not,
not
going to be
it
as strong.
It'll be weaker.
Like,
for sure.
There's no chance Cole is running the Diamond League final.
The issue is, like,
wonder,
what about Jakob?
No one.
Jakob could run it.
I think Jakob, there's a good chance
but knows,
he runs it.
Yeah. Who knows? Yeah. I think Jakob will be really good, but he's also, he hasn't raced in.
Yeah, I think Jakob will be there for sure.
Yeah.
But it'll be still really good, but.
Lausanne 1500, Brussels 1500,
Poland 1500.
In order, oh, no, not Lausanne.
Poland Brussels.
Brussels. In order to qualify, because I don't think Jared is qualified. He only has a second place at Prix, which probably already gets him pretty close, but he'll be in Poland, I'm sure.
Honestly, second place at Prix would probably qualify you with scratches.
It might this year. It might.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting.
Going to Zurich and win. It's so interesting because normally.
For the European guys, maybe it's not actually that big of a deal to go to Zurich to race it.
I mean, Habs could do it for the money.
I bet you for those European guys.
Is it 50 grand this year? Did it go up or is it still 30?
I think it's 50, yeah.
I feel
it
like
was
it went
30
up to 50.
At Prix for a special, like they have special events that get paid more. So Prix was one of those events for the men. 50K for the, I think, for the Diamond League final, yeah. So it has an incentive as well, I think.
But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if actually a lot of those
It's
going
to be sweet to see other people there too. Like
I mean,
there's going to be
Habs, Tim.
How many points?
Robert. Why is Robert's flag weird? What the hell?
He's actually already basically qualified. They take 10, I believe.
Well, I guess it depends what happens in the next.
Do we like
two races?
Right, fucking. I don't think he's doing it. What is his flag?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The flag is kind of weird.
He's special. He gets his own flag.
I'm sure Fucking's not doing
it. That's the Leipzig flag.
You think Cam's going to do it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I reckon Cam will do it.
Habs
because
is the
of how London
Habs is the only one qualified.
But is it? What is Zurich 2 weeks before Worlds or more?
More.
So it's like if you're in Europe, you may as well do it.
I think.
Why would
I think
you not?
It's just. It's like maybe it's 3-4 weeks. Yeah. So, and it's only like 2 or 3 days after Brussels. So if he's already running Brussels, down the road to Zurich.
Yeah.
So
down
maybe
the
we'll
road.
See Zurich in Tokyo. I mean, what the fuck did
maybe
I just
we'll
say?
See Zurich in
maybe
Tokyo.
Maybe we'll see Jared in Tokyo still. There's
be
hope.
A crazy comeback story.
Yeah.
It'd be sweet.
Imagine if you didn't qualify for Worlds at USA's and then he wins Worlds.
I mean,
it's not impossible.
It's definitely not impossible with a bunch of these US fields.
Like, that would be crazy.
You look at the people who.
Yo,
I'm missing out.
Joe Kovacs missed out on the team in the shot put.
Really?
But like maybe his favorite to win Diamond League final in the shot.
Yeah. Crazy.
Because he's very good still.
Yeah. So on to the steeplechases, which were These were
bananas.
Yeah, wild races. The women's steeple, they were freaking getting after it. And these,
dude, these college kids in like every event.
I know, and they were not afraid at all.
Honestly, being a college kid right now might be an advantage of running professionally. I think they might be getting better treatment or something.
Yeah, I think something that's being really clear right now is like how good the youth can be, you know, and like the systems. I think everyone's training so well across the board, and these people are just so amazing. It was
dude, steeplechase is being dominated by the Ed Eystone Diljit combo right now.
Yeah, they're pretty good, aren't they? I mean, we got to first give props to Olivia, who actually ran amazing in this race, because it was a hard race. It was a really hard race, the way they ran it, just making it real tough. PB for her. I mean, pretty sick after a couple of setbacks this year. And I think it means that she can probably go and like run even quicker in the next few weeks. But yeah, Lexi Halle just at the front. After just like, I mean, they'd already, it's crazy that it's not even like PBs for them, because they ran quicker during the college season.
Crazy.
So the level is just unreal. The girl from NC State,
dude,
is like
her
a sophomore
progression
or
this
something.
Year, her first race this year was like 9:40s, maybe up to 9:50.
Really?
And she got all the way down to 9:10 in Paris.
What's her name?
Angelina Napoleon. Angelina. Oh, sick name.
Napoleon.
Yeah, NCAA go.
That's a great ask.
Went 1-2.
And then Kaylee, she's coached by Jerry, isn't she?
Yeah, Bauman. Not obviously Bauman anymore, but they're so
Nike
back
swoosh,
on the team.
Nike swoosh TC.
That was actually a crazy battle for third.
I thought Chrissy had it.
Kaylee said, not today.
It's funny how you see that often in the steeple, where it's like you can tell someone's like saving their kick for like after the last barrier.
Right after the last barrier.
The arms just go up swinging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like for the whole last lap, I mean, Chrissy Gear gave them a bit of space, but she was coming on them so quick.
She flew by whoever that was in fourth.
I think that's
Val, I think.
Yeah.
She flew by Val, came up on this Kaylee Mitchell girl, and then
Kaylee
fought back.
Yeah, she'd say they almost caught second place.
Yeah, they did. They were sprinting.
So yeah, just gotta give props to the, like, if you can go out and do that in a race, like run that quick and just like be leading it, just make it that tough, like mad respect. And yeah, she's done it. They've done it. These college people have done it a bunch of times this year. So it's just crazy to then translate to doing that on the grand stage at USA's. And obviously this was an event where we probably all scored about zero, I think.
Gabby Jennings is the shocker, because do feel bad considering she's been so much better than everyone.
I think I picked Lexi to come second, so...
You did pick her at some point.
Feel good about that.
So, but not even Gabby, like Courtney and Val,
Courtney Wayman,
like
Val.
All of them, you know, it's just like these younger, like
no, it was an insane race, because the girls that I was expecting to see at the front were not there. So,
and I guess it happens so many times at this meet. It's like, it's pretty hard to predict when like the younger people come through and like just change shit up. You know what I mean?
I mean, particularly like in an event coming up, where it's been interesting to predict that one. But
yeah, so
you
know. Yeah, sick race, and I mean, mad credit. Like they really just they got after it and just left it out there. The men's steeple was a lot more tactical, and it was like.
They were
so nervous watching these races when they have to go over the barriers, and it's just such a big pack. And it's just, this race was weird in terms of like the movement of a lot of the key players was like at the beginning, I was like, where's Kenneth? Like I couldn't like pick him out. Like, where is he in the field right now?
Corrigan led for a while.
Yeah.
When like 2K maybe.
When he was up there, I was like, okay, he's got this.
Yeah.
And I just, before we get more into it, I just got to give the biggest shout out to Dan Michalski, because he's a massive fan of the podcast and he's a friend of mine, and
he's a great dude.
He's a great dude. Just
a grinder as well.
He brings such good energy whenever he's around, and he's got a great story. He was originally in, I don't know if he was like community college or a D2, D3, but then he transferred to Indiana. So he raced against, us like in the Big Tens like final year, and he's just so good. And then he's been, I don't know if he still lives there, but he's been living in the Springs just grinding away.
I think he
coached by, if he his coaches,
I know it's Ed Eystone.
Oh, is it now? Did he change?
That's why I'm saying that
I didn't realize
they'd been dominated. The steeple was dominated by freaking Duncan Hamilton almost went down. Yeah, he trains with Kenneth now, I think.
Did he move to Utah?
I don't know if he moved there or if he just trains there.
Training camps. Because he used to be coached by, from here, what's his name? Culpepper. He used to be coached by Allen.
Mm. I saw some stuff about how it was like the coachy move is working out for Dan Wachowski or something.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Dude, what is Ed Istone doing that he's a specialist in the marathon and the...
Marathon and the steeple, and the specifically. Steeple. Kenneth hit the front. Was this... Oh, yeah, it was one lap earlier than normal. I think he went 3 to go. Normally, yeah, his knee
lift when running normally is so small.
Is non-existent, huh?
Yeah.
His feet do not get very high off the ground.
Just grinding, just shifting.
Yeah, Silky Wookie was looking smooth and thought it was going to be all good as coming in as the guy in the best form. And I feel like he spent a lot of time at the front last year, but I don't know. Did you guys see that he broke his foot in this race at some point?
Fourth metatarsal. That must be why he fell back, because then he still had a good close at the end.
He did. Yeah, I kind of kept looking for a water jump or something where it, like, he had a big stumble when it happened, but they mostly looked pretty good. So I'd be interested to know when it happened. Sounds like he had some foot pain for a few weeks or days or something.
Yeah.
But he said, fuck it, I'll send it anyway. Mm-hmm. And there's still a chance he runs in Tokyo.
True. But I think these other guys will be good.
Yeah. What, do they have to race though?
They're in the ranking right now. Who ended up third?
Kita.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Bernard.
Bernard, sorry.
He looks really good. I think Bernard and Dan, like, I think they're both in the 20s right now.
Hmm.
So I'm sure they'll go race.
Yes, maybe they'll be sweet. It.
But, damn.
Yeah, Kenneth, three in a row.
Yeah, he's so good, huh? Knows how to get it done.
I can't believe how low his, like, stride is. As a steeplechaser, he runs so low.
Fast. Yeah.
And then he's just so quick, and then he just gets over the hurdle, like...
He's, like, grinds.
Like, pretty, like his hurdling's... I don't know.
His hurdling's really good.
Just grinds it out.
Matt was coming back on Bernard in the last... Like, he got really close, actually.
So close.
Dan finished right next to Kenneth.
Yeah.
Who's literally a silver medalist.
Yeah. I'm so happy for Dan, man.
Yeah.
So good.
So, a few upsets.
Yeah.
But... Favorite getting the win, I guess. So
now we're on to the 5K.
Still amazing.
Well, the
race. That was Saturday.
Sunday. Man, 800s in the 5K. Now the women's 800. You know, massive shout out to Sage. Finally getting it done after we've all known, like, she's been good enough to do it for...
She made it close.
Many years.
She made it close.
She stressed us the fuck out.
I would say, especially like watching the semis and stuff, This event got increasingly competitive. Yeah. I feel like you watch it and you're like, oh, these people are all like...
They're all there.
Looking good.
They're all there.
You know?
Yeah.
A lot of people that maybe had question marks going into it's like, okay, no, actually like...
Yeah, look good.
Yeah, yeah. Raven, it's like, oh, okay, these people are ready to go. Yeah.
Ajay started looking pretty good in the semis, I thought.
And then you got to the final and...
Well, it was a slow first lap. It was a 60
yeah.
Which I think for that, I was like... That was what I was concerned about for Sage. I think if it was out in 59, 58, I'd feel more comfortable with Sage because I think she can go well off that pace. But when I saw it was 60, I was like, I'm a bit concerned. And then when it came on the outside and there was a bit of a clip up, we mentioned earlier that thank God Sage was like out of that harm's way, because a clip up like that, you're out of the race. And that happened to, was it Raven?
No.
Raven.
Yeah.
And,
well,
yeah.
Raven got impeded, but didn't go down.
And Addie Wiley.
Dude, that move by... I got to call her out. Is this the BYU girl who absolutely takes a full 90-degree turn into lane two to cut Addie off?
Yeah.
Very, very questionable move.
Like, straight up. The camera angle's not great on it.
Does she takes like a full stride just to her right in front of Addie.
Yeah.
It was kind of brutal.
And it's crazy how it opens the door for, I don't know how to say her name, Roisin.
I think, yeah.
Dude. Like, opens the door for her because, like, she looked like she was completely boxed in.
Look how close that was. Fuck me.
Oy.
Straight in the ground.
Face plant.
It's crazy. But yeah, I mean, like, that. We talked about it off air before that, I mean, last year you saw that, like, Sage got unlucky with a fall, but also she was positioned to behind, like, a thing, like, towards the back. And it's like, if you're in... We know that this event is so deep now. So if you're back there, like...
Yeah, what lane is Raven in? What the
lane hell? Four.
Looks like she's running 400.
She got pushed out wide. So Sage being at the front on the shoulder, she was out of trouble. And like, that's full credit to her because
yeah,
it meant that she was able to have a smooth ride, but it was still a freaking battle with her and Nia at the end.
I actually,
oh yeah, her Nia.
I know. Sage Loki threw the arm out.
Yeah.
I think it made no difference.
Yeah.
I mean, Eddie's got to go to Zurich, win the 800 in the Diamond League. She's very good at running in the Diamond League.
I forgot about that for her as well.
Yeah. As the favorite, that was a brutal fall. But, all right. I'm going to need an apology for everyone laughing at my Maggie Congdon pick the other day. There was a lot of...
I believe in Mike Smith, you know, so I wasn't laughing.
I don't know. There was a lot of hate for that pick.
I mean,
if it was only a Mike Smith pick and not that I thought she was freaking good at running.
I mean, if to be honest, if every event had a Mike Smith athlete in it, you would have picked them. So I'm not surprised.
That's absolutely not true.
Yes, it is. The amount of picks you made because they were NAU athletes or they were Mike Smith coached. Maggie, the pick like for Maggie, you know.
Yeah, it was a great pick. It was a great pick. She came. What did she run the 800 at NCAAs?
Third in the 1500.
Third in the 15. Yeah, it's kind of crazy that you can just like
just switch around,
just switch, and then you come second to USA's.
Well, I've been saying 1500 women in the 800. Maybe not. I don't know if Roisin runs 1500. I don't think she does at all. The thing that those two did the best was waiting the longest. Like I think
it's just hard to say because like they just got like
they're last...
not lucky. They didn't get lucky, but like they just were not impeded by the fall.
It's no, true, but neither was Sage.
Yeah, but like, there's other people who like were also waiting. You know.
Yeah, true.
The one thing that Sage did well was stay out of trouble and then kind of
fight
for that last spot. Yeah. Whereas, if that fall didn't happen, who knows how that race would have went? But Sage got her spot, so
that's racing. Yeah. Well, Addy Wiley's world ranking is fifth. Is that a five or a
probably.
Six?
Probably her.
Jeez.
Her,
how does that work? Would she
her Diamond League results are insane.
She couldn't protest that, right?
There's being nothing impeded. You can do.
Yeah.
Like, because they can't. Remember last year for a thing, they're like.
Yeah. The only thing they can do is like DQ the person who impeded her, but that's not going to put her on the team.
No.
So it's not going to do anything.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But yes, yeah, it happened last year with a thing and.
Just, and Sage, yeah.
So that was the women's 800. And then the men's 800, I mean,
probably the best race.
We've got to give an absolute applause to Ollie's coach in here.
Dude, the amount of, okay, jokes aside, the amount of messages I received from all the fans, also just random people say, hey, congrats, coach. I'm like, what the fuck?
I'm so glad we kept this bit up until now.
It's so, I mean, I saw Donovan at pre. And actually saw him in London as well, and we had a nice chat. And I tell you what, that dude's mindset is amazing. Because I was talking to him briefly when I was in the elevator with him about like, oh, like what's your kind of like focus here this year and like how you feeling with it. He's like, man, like every time I get out to be able to race, I just look at it as another like privilege and incentive and exciting thing to do and just to go after and be better than I was yesterday. And I'm like, this dude's gonna fucking win after talking to him. And he fucking won.
Like, it's just mind-boggling to think that he, like, if you know his story, that he's already running a PB, because in 2019 he won world champs and he was in the shape of like a lifetime, and the fact that he's already back running a PB after returning to the sport seemingly not that long ago is just so impressive, and getting the dub.
There's a couple of videos.
Mike Smith looks like even more of a genius.
Yeah. Well, Mike Smith doesn't coach him. But
no, obviously, but he trains with Mike's guys. So
yeah.
Under your coaching.
Under my supervision. But to be honest, there's a cool video that people compiled of Donovan's story of like him winning worlds, him not making the Olympics, coming dead last in the heat, like just like with his partner, just like in emotional distress, dealing with all these surgeries, and then first race back, next race, and then this race, and the finish when he crosses the line and just that scream. Oh man, I could run through a brick wall. It was like the most amazing thing. Like it's one of the things like, and I know we'll get into the whole 100 meter beef thing between those two blokes, but this is what's good for the sport. This is what
it's people brought the should world be, together.
Yeah, this is what people should be fucking focusing on and getting content from, is this kind of story. Like, it's insanely... No one will ever know except for him how hard that was to do. Yeah. And in an event that's extremely difficult, because you have Hoey, you have Bryce.
It's the greatest it's ever been.
Yeah, it's the greatest ever been. To do that, I mean, it's one of the most inspiring things I've ever seen. And it's definitely something that people should get behind and just be like, this guy's a fucking legend. So,
yeah,
it's fucking sick. So I just got my coaching bonus in the mail, so I'm happy.
That was quick.
Yep. Yeah, my house is paid off already, so thanks, Donovan.
And the craziest thing about it is that it arguably wasn't even the most impressive run of the race.
Nope.
Second place. We have 16-year-old high school Cooper Lutkenhaus or something. Bro, what the hell?
142 for a 16-year-old.
If that was an 820-meter race, he would have won too.
Yeah.
Do you see
his 200?
How was
far
moving?
Back he is. With 200 to go on these guys, he was like a second quicker than everyone else in that last 200.
What's that 100-meter split, Tom?
It's unreal.
He's so far back even at 100. Barely in the frame. It looks like he literally walks these guys down. They look like they're in like slow motion. And
look at his stride. Look how long his stride is.
His stride is like normal length. It just looks like he's running right here. Like he's just running like normal.
Like he hasn't just run.
He got so close to Donovan.
Yeah. So I don't even know what you can say about
142 at 16
is. I don't
even
know how you can explain that. It's just,
I mean, it's probably one of the
raw talent.
Probably one of the greatest athletic performances ever, easily.
Like, how can you even?
Does that say 12-4? His last 100?
Yeah, that's crazy. So it's just like,
it's one of the greatest performances ever.
It's hard to comprehend it. I saw what it is for different events, and it's like every single event, it's like ridiculous.
What's it for 15?
Like 328 or something.
Oh, God.
It's just like hard
to comprehend. Is he going to college, or is he like so young?
He's a sophomore in high school.
Sophomore?
I think that's what they said.
He's 16.
Maybe he just finished. Maybe he's about to be a junior in high school.
He's about to be a junior in high school. This is his sophomore season.
He hasn't even started college recruiting yet.
He won't go to college. There's no fucking way that guy's going to college.
Yeah.
That dude should not go to college. Dude should be paid a shit ton of money and should be cultivated.
Wait, no. Was it you telling me that you can't get an NIL? So Noah told me that, I didn't know this, in Texas, that is it they don't let high schoolers have NILs?
Dude, he's got to move schools.
Move to fucking somewhere.
He's just going to go pro.
I think there was rumor, speculation, and video of Dathan grabbing him by the corner and saying, hey, you want to join our team? You can train with Sage.
Yeah. I can't, like, I want to look back and see what his training looks like, because, like, do you think, there's no way he's training like a 132 guy, you reckon?
He interviews, he thinks he's coached a lot, so I'm interested to see what he's coached. Because he
clearly
says
he's coached amazingly, but...
Yeah,
Donovan only runs 30 miles a week, so it's not that.
But I just want to see if, like, his training
lines
is
up.
Like, oh yeah, this guy is going to run 142 this year, or if it's like, oh, this guy is going to run, like, 147 this year, and then he ran around 142.
Tom Wang just found... some stuff.
We'll have to break down this workout later. Actually, I do remember this coming up and Gordon seeing Neck that it was
this?
Crazy. I remember he splits like they have these high schools. They're workouts.
The one thing with him, and I know he's 16, and I know it's always said, but when I first saw him like with those guys, he's a big 16-year-old.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how big you are when you're running 142.
No, I agree. Like, but like
at that level, it's like
he can
be
not like
size.
He's like a small little guy. Like he's got the body to run 142. You know, like.
I
but
mean,
to
if
do
you
it
if
is
you
insane.
If he never ran 142 again, it'd still be like you're one of the best 800 runners ever.
Yeah,
you know, it's like that. It's that good of a performance.
What's he running right now? 250.
He's running 400.
I don't know what 250 means. 250 and 30. I don't really know what that means, but it sounds fast.
Yeah. So
I've never run a 250 before.
So I mean, so crazy to see him come through like that, and then the big shocker was happened with third and fourth place.
Damn, he's moving here.
Specifically fourth place.
Yeah,
Hoey.
World champion doors.
World champion doors, run 142 this year. Looked just so good. Last week, we talked about the head-to-head with him and Hopple. That's what our big thing was going through that. And then turned out...
We were very wrong.
Didn't even matter in the end. Hopple, massive run to come through for third and to get Hoey at the end, because Hoey took them out in 49 low, which is just...
Yeah. Very quick.
It's crazy. I mean, it's 800 and these guys are so good. So like it happens, but
he,
still...
He also kind of just pulled everyone through like Yarrett did.
Yeah. I mean, he said in his interview that like he was just going on effort. Like he didn't have a specific... time, but then when he saw the time, he was like, yeah, maybe that was a little bit too quick. And just based on the fact that he said that with 150 to go, he could tell that like he didn't have like but his legs didn't quite have it with considering he had all that people on him. So it was just like
another person who has a pretty realistic shot to win in Zurich.
Yeah.
The only thing is though, I reckon in the 800, I reckon the Zurich,
there'll be more people
it'll
there.
Be everyone.
Yeah.
I'm just sure you all can those 800 lot. Guys will be there in Zurich. Like that'll be the most stacked race. That race could be cool to see him do it. The world race.
It could be cool to see him do it though.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll be there.
It'd be cool to see him have
that. It is a really cool system now that the Diamond League wildcard is like 2 or 3 weeks before. Because like
it's not even like the system changed. It's just the order.
Yeah, well, it's kind of silly that like
used to be you'd win the Diamond League final and qualify for Worlds the next year, like 10 months later.
Kind of silly.
Now it's like, all right, you can go to Worlds in 2 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of even silly that like the world champs, I mean, I completely understand it and I support it, that the world champ winner gets a wild card as well. But that's 2 years later. It's like,
it seems like it doesn't make a lot of sense that the Olympic champ doesn't get it. Yeah.
Like they should do that. But well, we're in a weird timeline now where like previously the world champs were always 2 years apart and we've just been
back to back.
This weird back to back.
But they have given the Olympic champs buys to Budapest next year.
For the ultimate championship.
Yeah.
Really?
But not the world champs. They've given a bye another year later for Olympics 2 years
ago. What's like the incentive for that? Just because.
I don't know. Champs might have retired.
Yeah. Why not? So anyway. I think everyone can agree that this was probably it was just the craziest race of the meet. And just, I think to have a Donovan winning, everyone was just like, and high school doing this, it just like, this was the most wholesome.
I mean, it was better than some other races, that's for sure.
And I do feel for Hoey because he has like, I mean, he came fourth last year, but it was a completely different fourth.
Yeah, you know? He's been dominating this year. He's been very, very good.
He's been so on top of it. Yeah. And so it obviously is tough, but yeah, just like with Yared and the others, it's like, hopefully they can go to the final and
get
that spot through. So that was 800. On to the final distance event of the meet. We have the 5Ks, and these were both pretty, I don't know the right word, is like not stressful, but they were both like
championship races. Yeah.
And so on to the women's first, obviously from the OEC team, there was Josette and Alicia, and everyone has seen how good Josette has been this season. But then after, I think even like after the 10K, it's like, okay,
anything can happen.
And like some of these other, like Elise, you know, she's running amazing. And it was just a really, really competitive race. Like I am way more competitive than I think that we predicted based on recent form, like throughout the outdoor season. And it just really showed how important it is to like bring it to USA's and how different like that kind of playing field can be. Because like you look at the top two, and like when this is all said and done, you look at history and you look at this race and you see that Shelby and Elise came 1 and 2, that'll look like complete normal. You know what I mean? Because it's like you look at the experience and the track records, it's like, yeah, like they've been doing that for almost 10 years now. But in the context of this season, it was a big surprise.
The last time Elise and Josette raced, which I want to say Philly 3K Grand Slam, like, Josette must have beaten at least by 50 meters, maybe more, in also a championship kind of distance race, kind of like probably similar kind of setup. But Elise is very good at USA's every year. Yeah. Always comes through.
She's Mrs. Consistent for sure.
And Josette did the wind-up, which I think last week we kind of talked about how like
that's her signature.
Probably going to happen. But then when you see someone do the wind-up and then there's that many people just like sticking on them, that's what surprised us. And then that's how, when you knew, it's like, fuck, this is a race here. This is a real, real race. Because yeah, if you asked me before, I was like, Josette's winning. Like
we all picked her.
I was full, like, no question. But
I think I did put Shelby making the team.
Did you?
I think I did.
Good pick.
Which I only really did because I thought that would be funny. But it turns out she was actually ready to freaking rip.
I mean, I gotta give credit to, I mean, just slightly mistimed. Bailey's move was crazy.
Dude,
on the last
Bailey's
lap.
Move was huge.
Like, I was like, holy shit.
She waited 50 more meters.
Yeah.
See, this is the thing, man. Look how relaxed those ladies are behind Josette.
Josette looks great too, though.
She looks fantastic, but look how relaxed they are at the back. Like, it's just, when you take something out, it's just,
Chelbo looks like she's chilling.
Yeah. You put so much energy into yourself, and
unless you can really break people, it's just such a disadvantage.
Yeah, I mean, she's clearly making them work, but it's
And Josette looks amazing, don't get me wrong, but like the ladies behind look like they're just in a tempo line.
Yeah. I mean, it's actually a comfortable spot when you're like, you know, they're about to hit the bell and it's like, okay, it's like, just gotta hang on and then bring it. So far out, it was a race. It was a race and we're so happy that Josette ended up hanging on to third.
Well, she actually had to fight back. Yeah. Leading, got passed by three people, had to repass one of them and locked it in.
Yeah, I mean, Josette did a good job actually staying composed and saving an extra gear for the last 100.
Yeah. Yeah,
because at this point, you might have thought that like she was going to go further back, but then she rallied and it was really impressive to see. And similar to Sage, like she's been knocking, like she really deserved to make this team.
Yeah.
So it was awesome to see.
Yeah, she must be in a relief to see.
Dude, the trademark Shelby lost 100 right there. Seen that a few times.
Yeah.
Blows my mind that she still has the American record in the 15.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh God. That's crazy. But that sprint is, yeah. Bringing it for USA's. Absolutely wild. So it was a crazy
it was
good
stoked.
Race.
Good to see.
Yeah. Alicia ended up 15th, I think. Was it?
Something like that. Yeah.
15th.
I mean, incredible that she got there. Yeah. It's just the real story.
I think that would be her racing that I think is good. Like, regardless of where she's fitness wise, just to know that she's back in that arena.
Mm-hmm.
Give her some good feeling, good motivation for
she's
the next
year. Healthy and racing, and that's all that really matters.
Yeah, and that's 100%. Exciting for us for sure.
Yeah.
And for the team.
100. So finally, the men's 5K, which we knew was going to be absolute fireworks after the 10K and then adding all the extra people.
The amount
of people like in one pack until the very end.
You weren't here, but we were having
a
discussion.
They were so wide.
Yeah. We're having a discussion, we're having arguments, particularly with Maya for me.
Oh, yeah.
I said it was going to be like a 13:30-ish race, right? That's like 13:30-ish.
Yeah.
And I said it was going to like, no one's going to take it. It's just going to be an absolute fucking sprint at the end. Like someone's going to go the last K or whatever. And like Maya's like, no, it's going to be like 13 flat or whatever. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, nah, it's going to be.
Really?
And I fucking picked it.
Well, I mean, to be fair, to make it a 13:30 race, someone still has to take it a little bit.
No, but not
know?
Like early on. Yeah. I think she, Maya definitely thought that like Graham was going to take it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I can't believe that Cole led the fucking whole race. Like, isn't that crazy?
That's his confidence, man. Like, also, if you think about it, he controlled the race. He controlled the pace.
And I don't think people, like, I definitely didn't. I don't think they probably, maybe, I think Grant probably was like, yeah, Cole's going to be hard to beat. But I don't think those other 5K guys respected Cole enough. Yeah. I think they were happy that he was leading.
Mate,
and
that
like,
3K
right,
at Milrose.
Someone's going to make a move at the end.
That 3K at
we
Milrose.
We picked him to make the team, I think.
Was fucking incredible. He was battling with Grant for the world record. Like, if you see him here, like, compared to running a fast pace, he looks like he's just slowing it down.
But the crazy thing is with this race is how actually dropped he gets at 400 to go.
Well,
did you guys
so
notice that?
He leads for 4,200 meters, loses six places.
Oh, there's Dylan.
Yeah, we got to talk about Dylan's trip.
I thought that was the last lap. It actually wasn't.
No,
it was 600 to go. Each trip.
But once they hit the belt, it's actually crazy how far back Cole is. And then I don't know how to explain it.
Look at Nico go.
He loses six places this lap and gains six places a lap later.
Like, look at how much they already
have
on him.
Olin made a big move.
Yes.
Nico's move from that, just like that spurt of energy.
Nico
Holy
moved.
Shit.
Nico went even earlier than the 10K.
Yeah.
Nico took off.
Like, look how far back Cole
Grant's
is.
Grant's right on him.
This was a very different race that Grant was completely boxed in for the last mile.
Yeah, did you guys listen to Grant's interview?
And you could tell that he was like it wasn't his. He would have wanted to be out of there.
Yeah, it was. I mean, so many. Look at
here
Cole,
comes Cole.
Cole just running them down
right on the inside.
Yeah, he sticks on the inside as well.
You know how
so crazy
happy to
the
see
whole time.
Racing this well again at USA's is Drew Hunter, man.
Yeah, totally
is
fourth again too.
Inspiring race again. Last year his 10K like fucking brought me to tears seeing that and.
Here he comes.
He's so gutsy.
Nico goes a little bit on the outside. Bang. Cole's coming through. Dude,
Drew
look how
so
quick
close.
Their fucking arms are going.
Yeah. I mean, that was a 51. He closed in a 51 there. It's like.
It was funny seeing stuff. What was that thing about people letting Cole have the inside?
He always takes the inside, man.
So impressive.
He always takes the inside.
So.
Nico needs to watch the Paris 1500 final.
But to be honest, I don't think Nico was worried.
Where is he going? Where's Nico going right now?
He probably was just focused on Grant, maybe. I don't know.
He looked down and then he looked up again and then he kind of went.
Yeah. He looked down, he looked up and Cole was 5 meters ahead of him.
Just a crazy race. And yeah, Grant did great, even though it didn't play out the way that he wanted it to. Nico Rally at the end had to hold off Nico. Drew and Cooper and Parker. And unfortunately for Dylan, I feel like this race actually suited Dylan a lot. Mm. It's I haven't spoke to him, but so it's hard to say like how much that, because that trip could have taken it out of him. You know, that could have been the difference maker with
100%. He looked good. He was there. Yeah. He was there with the lap to go. It's just like you're competing against such fucking good guys. Like you can't have any mistakes. You can't have any, you know, yeah, anything. You have to just fucking go. But
would have been so nervous, Cole, being in the pack for that race. Oh,
I mean, Cole just was textbook Cole, in my opinion. Like that was just...
Sorry, what?
That was textbook Cole. Hey, I coined textbook George.
Owns the rights to
that. The fucking worst thing I've ever heard.
That's because I coined textbook, so that's just a... Boy, do you want me to call it classic Cole? It's a classic Cole Hocker race.
Yeah, call it anything. Always copyrighted the term textbook, and everyone has their own textbook race.
Mm.
You know, everyone has their own textbook that they can read.
Yeah.
You know?
That's exactly right.
And that was Cole's textbook right there.
Come.
100%.
Well, was it? I don't know. Does he lead? I guess he's not afraid to. Him and Cooper are not afraid to lead.
I'm saying this. Cole is a mixed bag, but you always know he's going to go on the inside. He's going to close in a 51.
Dude, I did not think that was going to happen at all. So mad credit to him for like being able to go and control us. His confidence in himself is like
sky high.
Ever since he went back to coaching with Ben Thompson, he's
always been
back. He didn't go back.
Cooper left him.
Oh, Cooper left. Yeah. Fuck. Never mind. But Cole had, did he have an injury or something?
He had a year of injuries and stuff. Yeah.
Ever since then, he's just been so consistent.
Yeah, 2022.
But I did not expect that.
But now he's been healthy for almost 3 years. So I think that's been the difference maker.
So that was a crazy race and closed out a series of crazy, crazy races in the US Championship. So, wow. I don't even know what to say.
Thank God I'm not American.
Yeah, seriously.
Something like that, yeah.
So wild.
Entertaining, though.
Oh, yeah.
Super entertaining. And speaking of entertaining, the 200, sorry, the Noah and Kenny showdown, the little push. Man, I guess Noah does have fans, but watching this stuff, I'm like, dude, this guy, so annoying. Like, he's been watching too much anime or something. Like,
man,
what do you think was going to happen? I reckon Kenny could beat him up so easily. I don't know.
Well, the thing with Noah is
Kenny was trying to be so respectful as well.
Yeah, and also I think they're teammates.
No,
they're not teammates.
No.
But did something? I think there's some context to this, which I don't know if you guys know about it or Tom knows. Because like, why did he say he straight away said like I would expect an apology? What was he referring to?
Kenny said that or Noah?
No, that's what Noah is saying to him. And then he just keeps repeating to him. And Kenny's like, dude, we're not in an anime right now. Like, you can just like shake my hand and be normal. Yeah, Noah says like, I expect an apology. Do you know, Tom, what he's referring to?
I'm not an expert in this, but I'm sure we'll get some questions on it. But there used to be a Twitter account called Track Slice. And it had pretty like diabolical kind of toxic tweets about the professional sprinting community,
right,
including a lot of things. I actually never saw this. This is what my friends are telling me, but had a lot of stuff on Noah, had some stuff. I remember, I think like Gabby Thomas called the account out before Philly Grand Slam. Like, I know who you are. And then it just was deleted. But apparently, and I just heard this, that like the way they found out that it was linked to Kenny. So it was apparently the whole time it was Kenny and the whole time it was talking trash about Noah and everybody that like that's a sprinter.
Was it true?
Apparently someone found out because like it posted a TikTok link, and you know how sometimes TikTok is like, Tom Wang has shared a TikTok with you as soon as you open it. Like it like backtracked. So someone who had Kenny in their contacts, it was like Kung Fu Kenny has to send you a TikTok.
No way.
When they opened it, and it was like they were just opening a link from Twitter.
That's diabolical.
I'm pretty sure that's like where their offline beef was coming from. And then,
well, hopefully some people can get us some more clarity on that, because that sounds like a quite sticky situation with the who the hell knows what's
going on.
It
was just so funny that they continued the argument into the interview with Lewis Johnson. He was like trying to ask some questions and they were like still just going off at each other.
Yeah. Noah Lyles. Just,
imagine if they're having a distance race.
It'd be, what's the biggest beef that's ever happened equivalent to this? And I can't remember.
Maybe that French steeplechaser guy who used to like headbutt people.
Yeah, him and the other French guy got in that big fight.
In on the track in Monaco.
That was like a proper fight.
Yeah.
Like swinging. Yeah. So
they ran fast, actually.
Yeah, I mean the men's 100, they ran so quick. I mean the women's 100 as well. Melissa, I think she ran like the freaking fifth fastest time. I don't know, something crazy. So yeah,
I was
crazy sprints as well. USA's bananas as per usual, made for a great spectacle. But we got another race on this week.
The racing continues.
The racing doesn't stop.
Track season is not over.
It continues, and on Friday down in. What is it, North Carolina? Where are you going, Ollie?
Raleigh.
What's Raleigh?
Raleigh.
Yeah.
Raleigh, North Carolina.
I'm going to North Carolina. I'm getting recruited by NC State to run for their cross country season.
That'd be
2026.
Awesome.
No, I'm doing the Sir Walter Mile after, you know, London and dealing with unfortunate carnage from British runners. I thought, well, I've got a really good fitness. I'm in a really good place. I kind of want to show that. And this is apparently an amazing race. I know George's raced it before. Yara's raced it before. And it's been pretty consistently, decently quick. So I'm going to go down with Kai Robinson, who's running a mile. Also quite a quick miler, Kai. I think 3:52 is his PB. And Mario, which will be great. So,
García Romo.
The Spanish gladiator. So it'd be nice to go down with those two to run there.
And what a fun looking field right there.
Hold looks the like we've got Sam Prekel. We've got
it's Kai, quite a random
Mario,
field.
Sean McGordy, Eric Holt.
They often put in it's kind of like a top heavy field, and then they put in people they love their favorites. Thing is to get people to break four for the first time.
Oh really?
So they always have people that that's haven't cool. broken four.
That's a way bigger women's field. Holy
and
shit.
And haven't broken 4:30 before. That's like their big thing. They
seems like a real good
they
vibe.
They incentivize. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
People, like, they fill the infield and, like, up to lane four. It's one of those ones because it's only a distance meet. And
you have host families, right?
Host families.
Do you know who you're staying with, Ollie?
I have no confirmation.
Hopefully, you're not.
It's a lot of fun.
Hopefully, you have a nice family take you in.
Well, I did join this meet last minute, so hopefully I do have someone to stay.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no, I mean, like, I did a really good session.
I think you're actually also going with Dylan.
Oh, Olivia's going.
And Olivia. Going. I think Dylan Jacobs is
Dylan's
right.
Dylan's not on the list.
No, but I think he's also
a
late entry.
He's a late entry?
He's a late entry. Okay. So
it's going to be an OEC
Dylan Jacobs is going. Yeah, I had a good workout. The afternoon of Yard's race, like a really good workout actually. So
you're feeling good?
Yeah, I did 800 in 151. I did two 400s in 55:54, and then I did three 300s in 40, and then I did 5x K at 3 minutes. So that felt very good. It was my own. I had Laura out there just freaking. Masterclass of
just getting it done,
coaching and putting the cones down.
Just getting it done.
She's good vibes, so it was good to have her there. And after walking away from that, I feel pretty confident that I can run something really good. Just go out there and try and bring in the fire from the old Ollie that used to go out and just try and fucking rip everything.
Do we have any race plans to be revealed, or you want to keep that close to the chest?
I want to see what the pacing's like, but I'd like to go through in 220.
220.
Yeah.
Isn't that like? Wait, what pace is 220?
Well,
is that like 3:45 pace?
Yeah.
You should do that.
220, 221. Like
trying to do the math.
That's kind of what I want to do.
Yeah.
My previous races I've been through in 220, 221 and felt really good.
Nice.
But yeah, like again, I guess I don't want to derail the race from everybody else, but like this race for me is very important. For
what do you mean you don't want to derail the race from everyone else? Isn't that exactly what you should do?
Well, Kai, I think Kai was, when I said I was doing Sir Walter, Kai was like, oh, fuck, I have to race you now? And I'm like, yeah, well, I'm trying to run.
Do you plan on going in front of the pacer? Is this like a good off Sagai type situation?
That'd be a power move.
Well, because that would be kind of sick.
Matt and,
she won that race.
Matt and
she
people, did win.
Yeah, Matt and people with the meet said that they're going to have pretty good pacing and that we can talk about it. Obviously, I got to speak to Dathan and the meet and see what they do. But, I mean, I think I'm in shape to run an Australian record. I know fucking Cam is. I mean, he hasn't had the race go the right way for him. But I would like to run 3:47, 3:46. And that's going to be really fucking hard to do. But I know I can do it. Just gotta.
Yeah, so Walter will be it'll be a battle.
I just gotta rip it. I know that's gonna be. It's a long, you know. People probably think it's a long shot, but I want to go for it. So might as well. Got nothing to lose.
Well, it's gonna be very exciting to watch. Especially, it'd be cool to race with a bunch of the teammates as well.
Yeah, 100%.
So excited to tune in. It's Friday night.
Friday night. South
Carolina? It must be late because it's always dark.
Yeah. So yeah, it is.
But it's on the East Coast as well, so not bad.
What day? What day is Friday?
Friday's Friday. Oh, what date?
Yeah.
Probably the 8th or 9th or something.
Okay.
Is that going to affect your plans?
How's your... I was going to say something about astrology. I don't know.
Astrology?
Yeah. You know how sometimes there's a moon rising or
a sun setting or something like that?
I don't know what they are, but there's probably times that are better to race than others based on astrology, I imagine.
Yeah. I mean, it just depends on the Warren Buffett where he goes and it depends on the economy. He would order an egg sandwich or an egg and bacon sandwich. And if the economy is good, he orders an egg and bacon sandwich. For me, that's what it's like for ordering soda. I get a diet Mountain Dew if it's a bad day or I get a Mountain Dew if it's a good day. So,
wait, what's your star sign again? You're a Gemini?
No, I'm the Aqua one. Aquaman. Aquarius.
Aquarius? Yeah. Well, just if you wanted to know, the stars suggest for Friday, August 8th, it's Leo season plus full moon in Aquarius. And energy favors communication, emotional clarity, and relationship skills. So, if you wanted to know, Mercury trine Saturn brings mental clarity and practical thinking, ideal for planning, organizing, and making disciplined progress, officially noted as a productive transit on Friday. Emotional introspection is strong, a shift towards exploring inner truths and prioritizing authenticity as opposed to surface level positivity. And just some weekly influences. The full moon in Aquarius elevates emotional clarity, empowering you to express feelings and address relationships issues openly. And Mars is entering Libra midweek on August 6th, which adds diplomatic energy. So Friday still vibrates with collaboration and rebalancing in partnerships.
My brain hurts from that.
So
I think it must be
Jordy,
good.
That must have been one of your majors though, NIU, doing astrology or some shit.
That's the biggest. That's the
your
most
minor is
major.
Talking to trees chopping them down.
Yeah,
but
yeah, obviously. You have to.
Okay, does that mean I'm going to race well or not?
I don't know. I think it's up to you to decide. Well, it's up to you to interpret.
I'm going for it. I'm going to go try and rip it. And it'd be great to have teammates there. And honestly, I haven't raced a non-Diamond League since Boston with Yard. So this will be fun. That was in December, I think. Or January or whatever. February.
I don't think it was in December.
There were quite a few meets.
February, April maybe?
Two.
I can't remember. Fuck.
And there was Lord Indoors and Murray Plant and Aussie Champs.
What about Penn Relays?
I didn't race Penn Relays, bro.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I wasn't there.
Fuck.
I was not there because I was in China.
You know, Ollie, whatever you say, I believe you. So,
well,
I'm
to
not
be honest,
question you anymore. When you say statements that aren't factual, I'm still on your side.
Yeah, but that's what true friends do, you know?
I'm still on your side.
I mean, to be fair,
I'm not going to think. I'm just going to
how many
accept.
And I love the shit on Mike Smith, but to be honest with Mike Smith, how many messages do you think Mike Smith got about Donovan winning, and how many messages I get about Donovan winning being his coach? Like, I got a lot of messages from people.
I bet.
And people are starting to...
The real
know,
ones know.
The real ones know. And like the messages, and I just want to appreciate everyone for the messages. And no, I'm not coaching anybody else.
You're not accepting?
Donovan's 100% job. However, I have had reaching out from a certain athlete that I might coach at some point, but we'll see.
Wait, can you... Who is it?
who the athlete is?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Can you give a hint or something?
Yeah, I can give you a hint. Yeah.
What's the hint?
The hint is the athlete is a world champion, an Olympic champion as well.
Is it Jakob?
No, it's actually not a running event.
Wait, Is it? What event is it?
All right. Well, I'll tell you who it is. Mondo Duplantis has reached out. He wants really? Me to coach him. Yeah.
That's crazy.
He says that he's watched the Coffee Club podcast and he said, I need to.
I should have guessed that. That makes
more.
Sense.
Yeah. He says he needs to talk more shit. He needs to kind of create more, you know, more animosity towards, like, everyone's too friendly with the pole vaulters. So he wants to come to me and say, hey, I hear you're pretty good at this. I'll pay you every world record bonus.
I hear you're pretty good at pole vault coaching.
Yeah. And you're pretty good at pole vault coaching. So I'm going to be there with the iPad wearing the Swedish jersey.
Dude, that'd be sick for you.
So
maybe you could hop on one of his tracks.
Yeah.
Nice. We should listen to one of his songs online. He still releases music.
I think one of the songs is called Bop, isn't it?
That's the first one.
Yeah.
I'd never listened to the second one, but yeah, I think we're at the point where it's probably a good time to wrap up today's episode. What do you guys think?
Yeah, otherwise we go into brain rot.
I can tell George checked out a few minutes ago once we start. I think the astrology put George over the edge.
Yeah,
which is weird. I would have thought that you would have been really into
that. It gave him PTSD to his college days.
Yeah.
Just freaking learning and studying that shit.
Just walking around in a year, going to astrology class.
Yeah.
So, guys, thank you so much for joining us once again. This has been episode 190, I think seven, I can't remember, of the Coffee Club podcast. Hope you guys had a good time. I know that we did. And we look forward to seeing you guys all again next week. Check out the article from, is that the Olympics official website?
That looks 100% legit.
Yeah. We'll post a link to the article about Mondo trying to get coached by Ollie. Thank
yeah,
you guys
I accepted
so much.
Him, yeah, just be clear, I haven't accepted him. Yeah, we're still going through discussions.
We look forward to seeing you guys again next week. Bye-bye.